Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. I am Nancy Friedman, and with me is Angela Cote. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey, that's Jack's place, Brand Suite, and Intrepid Direct Insurance. Intrepid Direct is able to bundle all your required coverages, including property, liability, hired and non-owned auto, owned auto, work comp, umbrella, and EPL into one monthly payment. That's awesome. That is great. Also, Intrepid is a direct provider with A-plus rated coverage. No agent, how about that? No agent, no broker can access at all. Intrepid's licensed franchise experts will review your quote and provide excellent service. Now, that's under my umbrella, but we'll talk about that later. And here's the big deal. You'll save up to 20%. That's right, by cutting out the middleman's commission. That's awesome. See why thousands of franchise locations have switched to Intrepid Direct. Get a fast quote now at intrepiddirect.com/socialgeek. I'm Nancy Friedman, St. Louis telephone doctor, customer service training, and I have the pleasure of interviewing, Angela Cote. I'm going to introduce her. And Angela, I am so happy to have you as my guest. We're taking over Social Geek Radio. I know you're going to interview me later, but this is your 30 minutes, baby.
Woo! So,
That's enough of you. Now let's talk about me. All right.
Angela, are we recording? Did you hit the record?
We are recording. Act professional. I hit the button. Okay. Your topic is so critically important. And I know everybody knows about you, but give us a 30-second elevator speech of who Angela is and what your company does up in your beautiful city of
Victoria, British
Columbia. Of course, Victoria.
Okay. Well, the elevator hopefully won't go too high up into the 20th floor. I'll try to keep it under 30 seconds here. So I grew up with a brand that my dad founded called M&M Food Market, and a franchise company that we grew over the years to almost 500 locations. So anybody that's listened to me before might have heard me say I had to dress up as Kelly Kebab when I was a kid, train franchisees when I was a young female boss's daughter. So you can only imagine how that went over. Became a multi-unit franchisee for 18 years. And now I work with franchise companies all over North America, and I help them with their growth. So that can be anything from the initial startup phase where I'm guiding them on what to do, what not to do. And I also help people who are further into franchising, maybe 20, 30 units or whatever, and they're looking for help with getting their franchisees more compliant, getting their franchisees more profitable, and finding more franchisees and finding the right franchisees. How did I do?
Take a breath. So far, so good. I have 500 locations. Okay. I listen fast. When I go speaking, my husband says, you talk too fast. And I would say, they should listen quicker. I would say, take it down just a tone, only for the people who really want to get your information. So you had 500 locations. I've got some questions, pertinent questions for our listeners, obviously, as to how do they get more franchisees? Because you obviously have the ability with M&M Foods to get 500 locations. That's a small party. I mean, that could fill a stadium. Tell us about the first few, because we've got emerging people, we've got emerging franchise. And by the way, I was a former franchisor. While I'm not now, this is all interesting to me because I too, wanted to be second only to Sylvan Learning, but it didn't. And that's another story. So tell us about M&M and how you got to 500 locations. And then I've got some questions on how our listeners can get some more growth.
Sure. Oh, there's so many things. So I'll try to just hit some high points here. In the early days, a couple things that happened, and this was back in 1980, but it's still the truth today, even with social media and all the different ways of finding and attracting franchisees. But the first few franchisees, like they do today, come from within. So it was, friends, family, and people that loved the brand, customers that thought it was awesome. People ask.
First of all, I just need to interrupt. For those of us who don't know, what is M&M Food?
Oh, yeah. So it's a quality frozen food retail store.
Retail.
So people come in and buy, prepared meals and high quality. And this is back in the day when really all you could get, like the Hungry Man dinner, you peel back the top and you you microwave the thing and it tastes like cardboard. And so my dad had the foresight to, you know that women were entering the workforce and families were getting busier. They were starting to do all different activities. You know, kids got dance and soccer and they're running around and they needed quality food really fast. I mean, nowadays there's a lot of competition and options, but back then this was a really big deal, really something special.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So go ahead. How did we get the first few?
So yeah, the first few was from, you know, just people that love the brand and said, hey, you know, can I have one of these? Can I get one of these? So, oh, okay, well, maybe we should franchise this. So this is what happens in this day and age as well. You know, people love the brand and that's just the way that the first few usually happen. And I see a lot of people out there, you know, stressing and trying to find franchisees that are, you know, people that don't even know the brand. And I always say, let's leverage the referral and the internal network. And if you've got a following on social media, let's leverage that. Like people that already are in touch with the brand. So that's, you know, we did it back then without social media. It was more like, through word of mouth and phone calls and newspaper ads and things like that. But it was like people that already know the brand are going to be the most likely best first few franchisees.
Well, you're right. You're right. You know what other industry, and I don't know, and I'm sure there are franchisees in this industry, but you and I, and maybe Jack Munson, have friends who are in the insurance industry and they don't know what a cold call is. It is all family and friends and referrals. So there is a way to grow your franchise with friends and referrals, but
yeah,
your growth with M&M is traumatic, not traumatic, but impressive. Let's say that. So if somebody listening said, you know, I really want to get more franchisees and mm-hmm. they get, whether they get 50 or 500, you always want more.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, you know, what I would say too is I actually did a little video on LinkedIn a couple of weeks ago, and it was one of my higher engagement videos.
Yeah, I saw that. That was terrific. That was
a great one. Thank you. Yeah. I got a lot of engagement through direct messages and I got on calls with people after, which was awesome. And I talked about the four things. If you're trying to get more franchisees, there's really four things you need to look at. So
and now, go slow because this is going to be important.
Okay.
Go,
so even
take, you get time. The first thing,
you listen fast, but not everybody listens fast, right?
Exactly. I mean, we have some slow friends, but I love them.
Okay. Okay. No, not mentioning any names or anything, right?
No names. No names, yeah. People, Dean. No.
Okay. Yeah. That was good. Okay. So one of the first things, if you're already operating as a franchisor and you've got franchisees, the biggest roadblocks is if they're not validating, right? The number one driver of franchise company growth is happy and profitable franchisees. So people are always like, where should I be marketing? And it's like, well, let's just first stop and check. Because if your franchisees are happy and they're profitable, they will be your ambassadors of your brand. So take the time and spend the money that you need to spend to support them and get them profitable first. So once we
can I interject here because yeah. I so agree with you. Well, it just goes down for so many industries. If the Zors aren't close with the E's, there is a huge disconnect.
Right. And so I was, as I mentioned before, I was a franchisee myself and
right.
People would come in and ask all the time, is this a profitable business? You know, I'm thinking of becoming a franchisee, you know, in Saskatchewan or somewhere else. And if we were, you know, if we weren't happy and we told them that, well, they're just going to go to another franchise company to look at
right.
something else.
Right. But yeah, profitable is so relative. I mean, some people are happy with $100,000 a month or a $1 million business. I've got a friend who owns a kennel and she's just thrilled with it. She's a $1 million company. And that's what she gets. She doesn't want any more growth. She's happy. She's wealthy in her own mind. So profitability, you know, is so relative. Some people aren't happy with $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I say happy and profitable. And yeah, profitable, it's subjective, of course. But, you know, for the franchisor to make sure that the franchisee feels supported and that the franchisor is helping them, you know, meet their goals and have the lifestyle that they want. So that's
critical.
Yeah, I'd start there.
Exactly. The happy, it's like a happy customer. It is a happy customer.
It is.
Or it's a happy employee. You know, it's just happy. If they're not happy, trouble comes. So that's great information. What's point number two? Happy and profitable is one.
Yeah. Out of the four, the point number two is that a lot of people, they aren't as clear as they need to be on their brand foundation. Like you know, what is it that they are, what is their differentiator? What are they telling prospective franchisees makes them different and better? So what are, you know, how are they communicating that? And so when the person does come to their website or their social media pages or whatever it is, or talks to someone, you know, what is the message being put out about why this is such a great brand and what sets you apart? So I think people, you know, they, again, they spend all this money on social media and then, or whatever marketing efforts. And then when the franchise prospect looks at it and they're like, not clear, you know, they just go somewhere else. So I always love the line, a confused mind always says no. So if you're clear in your marketing on what makes you better and different, then you can move to the next step.
Good points. Very good. Yeah. Number three.
Yeah. So the next step is your lead gen. Let's take a look at your lead gen efforts. How are you trying to find franchisees? You know, people are always like, how can I get more franchisees? I'm spending this money here and doing that there. And it's like, well, let's take a look at that. And again, make sure that we're leveraging the word of mouth opportunities with the people that love the brand already. You know, that could even be something like, you know, think about your customers that love the brand and ask them, hey, not only like, do they maybe want to explore the opportunity, but hey, do you know anybody that, you know, might want to leave their corporate 9-to-5 job and, you know, would be passionate about, you know, whatever the opportunity is, who might be interested in taking a look at, you know, this business opportunity, you know, really.
I want to talk a little bit more about the lead generation, because there's not a business around. I don't care if it's franchise or cookie cutters or whatever they are. It doesn't want more leads. And I'm hearing more and more is that finding good leads is a stumbling block for so many companies, whether you're franchise or not. But sticking to the franchise, what I see a lot of, and tell me where you feel this is good or bad, there's so much advertising on social media. Go back 15 years when there was no social media. There was no Facebook. Mm-hmm. There was no LinkedIn. There was no Google. There was no Twitter, and there was no any of that. So let's pretend that's not there. So you went back to your family and friends, but you are going to run out of people, even if you have a big family eventually. So now, where would they go? If there was no social media, what would you suggest? You're so good at this.
Thank you. That's a great, great question. I actually probably would debate the idea that they'd run out. I think what I would do is, you know, have a continuous rhythm of checking in periodically, because people's lives change, their situations changed. So I wouldn't necessarily think that maxes out. I think if you kind of keep it on a revolving door where, you know, you're checking in periodically and really making sure that when you communicate this to the people that in your network, you know, say it's a fitness business or some kind of health and wellness business, it's like, you know, hey, we're growing, we're trying to find more people who want to impact, you know, make positive impact on the lives of people around them. Do you know anybody that would be, you know, get its hook in them, that might be interested in exploring the opportunity? And then really making sure that you know, keep it soft. It's not like if the person agrees, just get them to agree to have a conversation with you, you know, as opposed to like making them think that by talking to you, they're going to have to commit to something. Like
come up with a lead. Yeah. You bring up such a good point. And I like what you said, the family and friends, you're never going to run out because you'll have them till they are not.
Well, there's customers, there's employees, there's your vendors in your market. Like I've got a client who's does lawn maintenance. And we were talking about like, he could go into the nurseries where he buys the products, the supplies, and say, hey, by the way, you know, we're trying to grow. Do you know anybody that's like, you know, frustrated with their work situation and wants to take a little bit of ownership of their, you know, their future? Talk like that, have brochures that say that, hey, do you know anyone that, you know? So that's
it's sort of like I'm a big crime dateline crime watcher on TV. I love crime shows.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, and this is so critical to the franchisor's success or the franchisee's success, is to pull out a business card, which I still firmly believe in, and say, okay, you know, it's time to go. And it's like the Columbo technique he used to just say at the end, but hand them your card at the end. And I'm going to make one, it's not a suggestion, but it is a sales technique. Mm-hmm. I've always said D closes the door. So I don't like to start any question with a D, do you know? I like the who technique. So, and I'm just giving you this as a if you want to know. By the way, Sam, who would you think about would mm-hmm. make a good partner for us?
Yeah, that's great.
When you ask a D question, when you say, do you know anyone, that demands an answer right now. And that's not what you're saying, is it?
Well, and yeah, I agree with you. So it's a closed-ended question versus an open-ended question. Yeah, like if you, I totally agree with what you're saying, because it's you don't want to just command a yes or a no. You want to actually get
the answer. And yeah, even to say to somebody, look, I don't need an answer today, but I need you to think about, you know, so many people, you've got Rotary, you've got Chamber, you've got all these people. Who would you think would make a good partner for us?
Mm-hmm.
So we call it aided recall, and I want this little bit for the emerging franchisees, especially franchisors, to think like Angela's thinking, think bigger and often, but aided recall, because they won't think of their Chamber. They won't think of their Rotary group. They won't think of their BNI or BNI or BIN or whatever the heck that is.
You've got
to suggest it to them.
Yeah.
That's a key point in my opinion.
Yeah. It totally is. I see a lot often where people just, you know, they're not communicating it properly, so it doesn't work. And then they're like, well, that didn't work.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I know for a fact, because I heard that Jack Munson cut you off at 30 minutes. So we've got about 11 minutes to go, and I want to get these other questions in. Do you mind if we move along?
Yeah, let me add one last thing to that last point just to wrap that up. With the referral network, most franchisors will do a referral bonus to the person. So, you know, I think it's good to incentivize them with purpose, but also a little cash always goes a long way. And then just the last thing of the four things.
Right. I wanted to get to the fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. The fourth one in that, is really the franchise recruitment process. I just see a lot of people that don't have a properly organized process. And I mean that I'll just, rather than spending 10 minutes, cause we would run out of time. Anybody that wants to hear more about that can reach out to me about like what steps should happen when, what should you say when, what shouldn't you say when should you disclose the FDD, you know, all these things. It's so important. There's so much to it. People just don't understand that it's not about just having conversations with people. And it's such an intricate balance between vetting and selling and, oh, there's so much. So that's the four things. So really the, you know, franchisee happiness and profitability, checking in on your brand and what your messaging is, why you're different. Number three is checking in on your lead generation. And then number four is the franchise recruitment process.
Yeah, the recruitment process. And, you know, bingo on all of them. I'm not going to take up your time, your half hour on why telephone doctor customer service training. We had five franchisees. Four we let go very quickly, and one we kept too long. And that's a long story, but everything you're saying speaks to why we didn't continue. So let me get another couple of questions in here. You're so interesting. And
well, maybe we just need to take over Social Geek Radio a little more often.
Well, we need to hear from our listeners.
Yeah, right.
All right. We need to bribe our listeners. If you want Nancy and Angela to take over maybe once a month, something like that.
Yeah.
Just send us an email. Angela, what's your email?
Angela@angelacote.com. That's COTE.
I've got a couple other questions I wanted. How can a franchisor be more supportive to the franchisees? Because I get secret stuff when I speak at a conference. Mm-hmm. I get to hear stuff that I believe the franchisors never do. And I never go to them and say, hey, Bob Smith at such and such says this. But I feel for the franchisees. So we need to tell some of the Zors how can they help their franchisees grow their business?
Yeah, I'm going to give
you 6 minutes here.
Sure. 2 points on this. One of the biggest mistakes I see out there is that people have the wrong person in the role of field support. You know, they've got somebody in there that's too junior. And I actually did an interview with Jack about this exact topic just about 1 year ago, I believe, on field support. And here's the summarized version, is that the person often has the technical skills. You know, it's often a junior person, so they don't really have a ton of, you know, life skills and soft skills, and they've got the technical skills. So they know how to go in and, you know, help the franchisee fix their problem with their computer, or take them through their audit or their checklist of, you know, KPIs or whatever. But if they don't have the leadership skills and, you know, understand the importance of the compassion that they need to have, but also a level of tactful assertiveness, then they're really missing half the equation. So I think that's one of the first and most common mistakes I see. And then number two is the weekly check-ins or the regular check-ins. Every client I work with, every franchisor that I work with on helping them improve their support, resists initially when I say we need to do a weekly check-in, and they're like, we don't need, you know, they don't need us there. They're busy. We're running their business and all that. But do you know what the problem is if you don't do that?
What's the problem if they don't do that?
If you don't do that, you're not going to catch the problem before it becomes a bigger problem.
Right.
It's like going to the doctor and getting, you know, getting a blood
test. It's preventative.
Test.
It's preventative maintenance.
It's preventative.
Absolutely.
And
the other thing that, the other thing, and I'm going to interject only because it speaks to what you're saying, instead of what they need to do, I would make a statement. I'm going to connect with you every week. Now, you're not going to have time for a long conversation. I realize that. But I'm going to connect with you every week because that's how I'm going to take your temperature.
Exactly.
And
yep.
I would make it a statement. Not. I would just make it a statement that that's how I do business.
Absolutely. And if you have to implement this after, you know, having run the business without it, and you've got to start to implement it, it's really all about getting buy-in. And that's what you just said is the beginning of it. You know, try to help them understand that it's about getting buy-in, or sorry, it's about them, you know, us helping you. But I would take that another step further. And every time you get on the call with them, you know, it's this communication of, okay, let's talk about your profitability. Like
right.
That's what we're going to, and the franchisees will quite often start talking about their problem with their employees, their this and that. And it's like, hang on. Well, okay. We can talk about that after, but the priority on this scheduled weekly call, we're going to spend 20 or 30 minutes talking about, you know, what did you do last week to grow your business? And what are you going to do this week coming up? And if you hit any roadblocks last week, I'm going to help you. Let's talk about why that didn't work. Okay, let's tweak this. Or, you tried to do networking and you weren't good at it. Well, let's not do networking, or I'll teach you how to do proper networking. You know, let's do a different strategy that will work better for you, or that you actually get excited about. So it's a really supportive, you know, alignment call and accountability, but really to continuously, like a lot of franchisees, if it's not done right, they feel micromanaged. And they feel like it's a waste of time. So you really have to communicate that. Okay, this is about your profitability. Let's get you to your goals of whatever that financial goal is, or maybe it's a lifestyle goal or a trip you're trying to take. You know, let's talk about
which should have all been done prior to them signing on or awarded a franchise.
Right. And it often hasn't. But if
but
it has,
happen.
Great. But yeah, if it hasn't been done, stop everything and do that.
Exactly.
Which is actually an answer to another common question I get, which is, when a franchisee is disengaged and tying up a territory, you know, people say, what do I do? This person just they're not fighting me. They're just not doing anything. They're just sitting there like a lump. And it's like, okay, well, first of all, you should have set up expectations from the start. And there's ways to do that even in the franchise recruitment.
Yeah, the first 30 days, you'll know. I mean,
if
they're not doing it in the first 30 days, you know, years ago when I was, it doesn't matter how many long ago, somebody said, your first day is your best day. Of any job. And if it's not done on the first day, it's not going to get done on the 60th day.
Right, so, right. Yeah.
Before I forget, I want people to know how to reach you by phone, email, Twitter, LinkedIn, blood type, mother's maiden name. Give it to all. And then I've got a wonderful closing for the show.
Okay. So I would love for people to come see me on my website at www.angelacote.com. I've got a couple of cool needs assessments on there. If people are trying to understand, try to figure out if they should franchise their business or how to grow. If they fill that out, then I'll set up a call with them and review, you know, what I learned in their needs assessment and give them my input on that. They can also directly email me at angela@angelacote.com. And of course I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever I can be. Love having people connect there and share their input on the content that I put out. I get some pretty nice comments on there, so I'm going to keep going with that.
I love that. Now, I'm going to give you one little tip here. You want you to say your phone number twice and slowly. Do not rattle it off, because they're not, now they got a pencil. We've told them, pick up a pencil. Go ahead.
Go ahead. And they can text me or call me 250-213-7277. Should I say it again?
One more time. Yeah, yes, twice and slowly, always. That's a commitment.
You're teaching me. I love this. 250-213-7277. There we go.
7277.
Yes.
All right. So that's 250-213. And I always take a little pause between each number. 250-213-7277. So I gave you an extra one. I think I need to do the clothes. Is there anything, you and I probably could go for 3 days without stopping, but
that's the problem.
I believe you've packaged in here something that anybody could listen to tomorrow, a year from tomorrow, or 5 years from tomorrow. You've given them solid golden tips. I'm going to bring them golden nuggets for customer service. And I hope I do as good as you. I give you a 10, Angela.
I'll pay you later.
You're welcome. We're good. I need to do the clothes now for Fran Sweet. It was brought to you today by Fran Sweet. And, people go, what's Fran Sweet? I didn't know what Fran Sweet is. I thought it was a hotel, Fran Sweet. Stay at Fran Sweet. It's not a hotel. It's a cloud-based digital marketing platform. And that's a cloud-based, so you're not going to be able to touch it. Cloud-based digital marketing platform designed to help a franchise grow. Fran Sweet empowers a franchisor to enable franchise success and say goodbye to digital ads launched by your franchisees that don't live up to your brand standards. I should repeat that because that's critical. The franchisees put out stuff that are not brand approved, brand loyal, or whatever standard. So you can launch a brand approved creative. You can do it on Instagram, you can do it on Facebook, Google search, and just a few clicks and control how your brand is being used. That's awesome. I use that word too much. You'll collaborate and communicate across your entire system like never before with visibility into real-time performance. Plus, you get increased awareness with local customers, more traffic, and this is key, more sales. That's what we want. So if your franchise uses an agency to launch local ads but struggles to get access to the real-time performance data, which is so important, then FranSuite is also for you. See it in action. FranSuite, it's not a hotel. That's fransuite.com, and that's F like in Frank, R-A-N like in Nancy, S-U-I-T-E.com. And Jack Munson, wherever you are, we love you.
We love you, Jack Munson.
All right. Thank you for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises.